that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. I would say, as you look in the Bible, there are different types of ways that people passed away. This may be the most unique. Because here's a man by the name of Korah. He's got two cronies. Their names are Dathan and Abiram. We're going to look at them in just a minute. And they rose up against the man of God. Warning! Warning! Okay? For this church, the man of God is Pastor Fritz. Warning! Rise up against the man of God. You have no idea how it's going to end. There was a man by the name of Elisha, and I feel kind of close to him because he was bald. 42 kids came out and started mocking and making fun of the man of God. Elisha turns and two she-bears come out of the woods and tear those 42. I often think when I hear that word tear, did it mean they devoured them? I don't know. I'd like to think that they ripped an arm off. Tear. And they went home missing an arm. And mom might say, you've had a bad day today, it seems like. Armed robbery. You had a bad day. And I think maybe they learned their lesson. You better be careful how you talk about the man of God. And so we see Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they round up a crowd. We'll look at it briefly. And they kind of had this competition, if you will. Who is actually the true leader? Is it Moses or is it Korah? And so they're kind of on two sides, and God says, if you're on Korah's side, you better move out of the way. And all of Korah and his cronies, the earth opens its mouth, swallows them up. And I think if I were there, my eyes would be about that big and think, you know what? I think I know who is the real leader. We're going to see that the people of Israel have a really hard time with understanding just a practical... You think about an object lesson? Hey, we're going to do an object lesson by Ananias and Sapphira. Connor comes up. Hey, Connor, did you read your Bible today? Well, he doesn't want to look bad in front of First Baptist Church. He's, yep, I read the whole book of Ezekiel. I'm like, I think he just lied. Next person. Did you read your Bible? Well, on second thought, no. That's a visual thing that God made clear, and we see this text of what happens in the life of Korah. The Bible is a very descriptive book. It speaks bluntly about certain people. Some it says very little about. I was telling Garrison this morning, you know, from the birth of Jesus to his ministry, we only know of one event in the life of Christ, and that's when he's a 12-year-old boy. We really don't know a whole lot about him. We hear a lot about Peter, but how much do we know about Bartholomew? So God chooses to tell us some things about some people, nothing about others. It's also a very descriptive book about death. How about this one? How did Goliath die?
Slingshot.
Yeah, very good. How about Eli? Heavy set, heard bad news, fell off the wall there. He was sitting there and broke his neck. Absalom. I always think about it with my eyebrows. If I was riding through the woods, like my eyebrows get caught. Sorry, I digress. All right. But he had long hair. He's caught in the oak tree. Joab comes through, three darts, pierces his heart, throw him down into the valley of Achor. I'm sorry, that's Achan. But just the idea that, what a horrible way to go. Sisera. Nail through the temple. That's one way to go. Abimelech. That's exactly right. He's outside of a city. He's there going to beat down the city. A lady throws out a stone out of the window, hits him in the head. He's like, armor bearer, come kill me because I don't want it to be said a lady killed me. This one's interesting. King Herod. The Bible says he was eaten of worms. I try to picture that. But I probably shouldn't. There's a man by the name of Agag. This is like Bible trivia, man, right here, right? Samuel took a sword and hacked him in pieces. Yeah, that's one way to go. Jezebel. Thrown out of the window, chariot runs over, the dogs came and ate her up. What a lunch. Judas Iscariot. Didn't even do a good job of that. All I'm saying is the Bible's pretty descriptive on how people's lives ended. I've often wondered, how am I going to die? I'll tell you how I want to die. I want to be preaching. And in the middle of like, have a heart attack and just go. That's kind of what I want. I really, and I'm not being mean, I really don't want to go through cancer. I've watched people for years suffer. And again, my mother-in-law is going through brain cancer and lung cancer as we speak. She's been dealing with about a year and a half. And to just see people's bodies just eaten up with that, I don't want to go that way. I don't really want to drown. But I think about it. How is my life going to end? And I think as we look at this man, we can learn some things about why his life ended the way it did. Number one, this idea of Korah, it involves a religious man. Can I warn you? Let's not focus on being religious. Religion, what it does is it puffs you up. I have found myself, and I'm just going to preach at myself for just a minute, just because you've gone to the same church for a long time, just because you've been on staff for a long time, just because you can preach a decent sermon once every 3 years, just because you're part of a church, doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23 were verses that grabbed my heart when people stood in front of God and said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And God looks down and says, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart into everlasting fire. That scared me. I was a church kid. I could quote verses. I could memorize things for our WANA programs. I would go out on youth group. I was helping on a bus route. But I was as far from heaven as a person that we would say is, you know, the lowest of the low. But Korah was religious. Look at verse number 1 of our text. Now Korah, this might not mean a whole lot to you, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, and then the next 4 words, the son of... What does that tell us about Korah when it says he's the sons of Levi? KK, go! That's what I thought. I just woke her up. Miss Hicks, what does that phrase, the son of Levi, indicate? He's a Levite. What is that in the world? What does that mean? He was part of the priestly line. So you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, or Leviticus. And so the idea is that was a book specifically designed for the tribe of Korah. Was part of the tribe of Levi. Now, Levi had 3 sons. One's name was Kohath, one's name was Merari, and one's name was Gershom. And all 3 sons had a group of in their family. They all had different responsibilities in the tabernacle. Okay, you with me? I'm taking a little bit of time to get off the ground. Kohath, they were the ones I would call that had to do the dirty work. Because the people, the family of Gershom and the family of Merari, what they did is they had to do certain things in the tabernacle. They had to carry things as the tabernacle moved. But the Bible says they got wagons. They could put all the stuff that they carried, put them in a wagon, and the wagon would haul them, but not so for Kohath. Kohath had to gather all the furniture, and they had to carry everything. They were the guys that when everybody left, they were cleaning the church. They were the ones doing the extras behind the scenes. And so it's almost as if Korah knew about the inner workings of the church, and they were kind of the ones that did the dirty work. But Korah was a religious one. The problem, as I said, with religion is that too often it just puffs us up. We were having this conversation with somebody today. What happens is, I'm a church kid. And they're the lowly bus kids. Well, how did that go for the Pharisee versus the publican? I thank thee that I am not as like other men are, like this publican. I fast twice a week. I'm glad you did that, but when he left, his prayer wasn't answered. But you got the publican on this side that wouldn't even lift up his head towards heaven. He smote upon his breast and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus himself says, that guy, that man, went down to his house justified. So what happens oftentimes is we can be so church-minded and so church-savvy, if you will, and so polished, we miss out on the importance of what God wants for us. Be careful. So Korah was a religious man. Number two, though, we see in verse number two, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel. 250, what type of people were involved with this? This wasn't the guys in Inglewood. This wasn't the guys on the south side of Chicago, Hyde Park. These were princes. The Bible says men of renown. They were popular people. And Korah got a what we call a core group of people to rise up. I see this being a revolting man. Verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you. This was not a bunch of thugs. This was the good people. I'm issuing a warning. We'll get to the end here in just a little bit, but I'm issuing a warning. Be careful about seeking to be just religious, and be careful how you rise up in revolting against the man of God. A dangerous way to be. Number three, it involves, again, this idea of revolting, but rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of... I remember going to Zambia, as I mentioned before, going into a village, and I'm sitting there with the guy that spoke the language. I'm just kind of listening to him. He says, hey, Eric, this guy is a witch doctor. I'm like, oh, he's going to turn me into a frog. I got scared. But over there, there's a presence. And you can almost feel the power of the devil that controls those people. Of, you know what that is? It's rebellion. I mean, the Bible terms it that way, not me. I'm just making up this object lesson. So if you are known for rebellion, you are partnering with... That's dangerous territory. Verse number 8, Moses said unto Korah, here I pray you, sons of Levi, again, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself to do the service of the tent. He's saying, don't you realize God has blessed you? You're privileged to serve in the tabernacle. But he missed it. He missed it. It involves a rebellious man. Number four, quickly. It involves a rude man. I don't like being around rude people. You all, I can say, have been ultra kind to me today. Thank you. What a blessing to be around people that aren't rude. Do you like to be around rude kids? No. But here's an adult that never got over rudeness. Look at verse number 11. Moses offers an opportunity to meet and discuss the situation. Verse 11, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. But kind of like what I was saying today, how is it that a young person today can just tell his parents no? I'm blown away. I am blown away at how disrespectful our world can be. But you know what happens? The church sometimes gets filled with people that when the pastor says, hey, I'm just going to say, I'm blessed. He told me he's kind of challenging with scripture memory, and to see you all jumping up, what that says is when pastor says something, he has your ear and he has your heart. Can I encourage you? Keep that. Keep that. Because a lot of churches, pastors get up, and you know, I think why a lot of pastors leave churches. Because they're passionate and they're giving their heart, and they're being like, I'm not going to listen to you. He just becomes a puppet for them. If he dances to my music, we like him. But Korah shows us he's rude. And I will say this, it's easy to be rude in a group. Those 42 kids, if it was one-on-one with Elisha, they probably wouldn't have said nothing about him being bald. But 42 of them, it's easy to gather a little crowd. Some years ago, I was in Washington, D.C. It's not the most kosher place to be. And so I had some of our college students in the ensemble with me. I think it was four or five guys and a couple girls. And we're on the train. And there's about 25 kids on there. And they were not being quite quiet. They actually had pretty vulgar mouths. And I'm not really into that. So I just said, hey, could you guys just tone it down? I'm not appreciating your language. Well, they didn't take that very well. And they were probably 16 to 21-year-olds. And they started kind of coming towards me. And this is when I assumed the college guys that were with me would kind of have my back. But I turned and they moved a different direction on the train. I'm like, oh, this is not good. So I'm like, I guess it's on me. And I had a shirt that said, I believe God. And one guy got up and starts pushing me. I'm like, hold on. I don't appreciate your vocabulary. There's ladies here. And some of you, and I kind of got whatever. I just got a little upset. And they were rude. But what I found is we get to the next stop, few people get off. Next stop, few people get off. And by the time, you know, there's four or five guys, the whole thing had toned down. It's easy to be vocal and loud in a crowd. But it's awesome when you can be vocal and loud in a crowd for the Lord. So let me encourage you, church. You might say, you know, with the bus. We talk about the bus. I don't know. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. You have no idea what's going to come. You don't know the next door that you knock on might be the one that God says, I was just waiting to see if you were going to keep at it. Here's the beauty of it. We're required to be faithful. We're not required to be successful. But we see this man becomes ruined. I've been to enough funerals, as I mentioned, that haven't been very calm. It hasn't ended well. And we see verse number 25. And Moses rose up and went into Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And again, we read the text already, but here it is. And I'm trying to get through the Psalms in the next couple of days. I want to finish. But there's about 10 Psalms. If you ever notice the heading, it says, For the Sons of Korah. And I was trying to study this and see, I don't know if Korah's sons actually died. Maybe they had enough sense to say, you know what, we love our dad, but he's gone too far. And maybe they stepped on Moses' side. I don't know. But truth of the matter is we know that it didn't turn out so well for Dathan and Abiram. We see ruined men. But here's the point. I want to end with this. Am I doing all right, Garrison? What's my time? How much time do I have left? Oh, I'm safe. I can go another hour. All right. Religious. Be careful of the religious, of just focusing on being religious. Be careful of the revolting and the rebellious. Be careful of the rude ones, because guess what's going to happen? They're going to affect people. They're going to affect people. So Korah's rebellion led to 250 others being destroyed. But it gets worse. It gets worse. You would think, here's the people of Israel watching this take place. They would say, Korah and his cronies just got swallowed up in the ground. I don't think they're the real ones. You would think that would make sense, right? I think Moses is the real leader. I think we'll just follow him. End of story. Problem is, no end of story. Look at verse number 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So we got Korah and 250. That's 251. But look at verse 41. This is what kind of grabbed me. But on the morrow, so the next day after all this happened, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. What is wrong with them? Verse 42. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. Behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Verse 49. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. We got one religious church man that feels like, you know what, I'm on the same level as the leader of the congregation. This is a warning, church. I'm on the same level. And God says, no. Do you remember when Moses' brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, rose up? And that didn't turn out so well either. You get the picture? When God sets somebody in place, and that includes parents, yes. That includes pastors, yes. And may I say, it includes government officials. That doesn't go over so well for us. We had better be careful that we don't rise up in rebellion, because we may be the very one that splinters out, 250 are affected, and now we see 14,000 plus, almost 15,000 people are killed because of rudeness, rebellion, although they were religious. I'm looking at a good bunch right here. This is the core of First Baptist Church of Amboy. But let us be cautioned that one of us can affect an entire congregation. I've never pastored. I don't believe the Lord ever has that on my heart to pastor. But I've been to enough churches where pastors have said, my church has blown up because this one family. And I hear it again and again and again and again. So instead of rising up to hurt, as you have done today, rise up and help. Stay up his hands. I have a hunch that there's days where Pastor and Mrs. Pastor get a little weary. This is what you do, as you've done today. What can we do to help? I was unkind to my pastor's wife last night. I was walking down the hallway, and I saw our food pantry area. It's nothing like your scale of things. She was in there mopping the floor. I said, "What are you doing? You ought not to be doing that. I should be doing that." I said, "I'm just going to shut my mouth," because I knew I was preaching this. But our desire as a church family in the congregation is to rise up and help. Korah missed it. He missed it. And I think we understand there's a danger in rudeness, rebellion, revolting, and rising up. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. We're not entitled. God has placed His leader in charge. And our job is to say, as he follows the word, I'm going to be right there in line with him. Amen and amen. I hope we're going to learn something. You look at that and say, it doesn't have to be. Why did a good man have to go that way? Well, he got away from understanding his place in the congregation of the Lord. I say it simply, no coffin for Korah. No coffin for Korah. It ended bad because it started bad. Let us be challenged. I don't want to be the type of person like Korah. 15,000 people. You think he would have ever thought that? He probably wouldn't have done that had he known what his influence would do in the congregation. As I began, Brother Dan, you're going to influence somebody. I have no idea who it's going to be, but it can go both ways. Let's make sure we focus our attention, influence of people for good. Amen? Trust this can be a help. Let's pray. Thank you.